Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon texts today are selected verses from Acts chapter 2. If you look on the bottom of the insert where this order of service is printed, you can find that reading if you'd like to follow along. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, send down upon us your Holy Spirit, that he might sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, excuse me. Apparently, the word of the week is covfefe, if you've been following the news reports. Apparently, President Trump published that word in a short little tweet, and many people think it's just gibberish, and other people are trying to come up with an explanation for it. I don't even know how to pronounce it, frankly. But regardless, everybody's been asking the question, what does this mean? 2,000 years ago, many people from all over the world were gathered together in Jerusalem to celebrate the annual Jewish festival of weeks, Shavuot, which commemorated God's giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai on the 50th day after the Israelites had left Egypt in the Exodus. And 50 days is the origin of the word Pentecost that we use today for this festival, this great gathering. And at this great gathering, Jesus fulfilled his promise to send the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to seek out and to accompany and to teach and protect us. That special event was accompanied by great signs and miracles and wonders, not the least of which was the preaching of the good news in many languages, the news about Christ. And the people didn't know what to make of it at first. I mean, you can imagine what it would be like to hear the languages of Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. You can imagine what that must have sounded like, hearing the good news about Jesus being preached in all these different languages at once. It must have been kind of mind-boggling to hear that. And many people asked, what does this mean? That's such an important question. What does this mean? That's really the big question of life that we ought to think about all the time. What does this mean? If you trace out on a map all those places where those people were from, you'll trace out a spiral. It starts at Jerusalem, and it gets wider and bigger, goes out into all the world. Jesus' disciples were beginning there on Pentecost Day the preaching that would spread out to the four corners of the earth, even here to Lake Havasu City in Arizona. The preaching of the good news that Jesus came down from heaven, the only true God, became a human being to save us. The preaching that Jesus lived that human life of his perfectly, without spot or blemish, a perfect, sinless life. The preaching that he gave up his life to take our well-deserved place under God's condemnation for sin. The preaching that God's righteous anger over sin has been fully poured out on a substitute, our Savior Jesus. The preaching that substitution was acceptable in God's sight, for on the third day Jesus rose from the dead, death could not hold him. The preaching that we, quite apart from anything that we have done, we are considered righteous in God's sight for Jesus' sake, because of what he did. That's the preaching that the Spirit began miraculously on that Pentecost day to spread out into the world. The message of the Spirit does not direct us to the Spirit. He's not preaching about himself. The message of the Spirit directs us to Jesus. The message of the Spirit is about Jesus. It's not some arcane knowledge that only a few people can have. This message is about Jesus. It's not self-help encouragement or how to be successful in this world. The message of the Spirit is focused on what Jesus did for us. For those gathered there in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost, there was a right answer to the question, what does this mean? And Jesus' Apostle Peter was called to speak that message, and he spoke it with such clarity. Some want to read the Bible as though it were full of all sorts of special secrets and recipes for success, or as though it could mean many things as opposed to the one thing meant by the authors and the great author above. Some imagine that the message of the Holy Spirit should be something newly discovered. But the Spirit does not preach a changing message. He preaches the message that does not change, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. That's the same message, the very same message that the Lord had been preaching since the very beginning of the world, when Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden and needed God's forgiveness and needed a Savior from sin and death and the devil. Nothing has changed in that Christian message, because God has not changed in all that time. Civilizations have risen and fallen, but God's message has not changed. That's why Peter quotes the prophet Joel, who lived some 900 years before, and that's why the prophet Joel, in turn, refers back to Moses' writings some 600 years earlier. Joel says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. The Christian message has not changed. Now, recently, the Christian teaching has received a lot of harsh treatment. Christians are accused of not being understanding. We're called bigots, or worse, for saying that God's word is most certainly true. And though we are comforted to know that we stand We stand with Jesus Christ and his apostles and prophets in making that confession. Though we are comforted by Jesus' words that we are blessed when we are called all kinds of things falsely for his name's sake, the real thing that we need to focus on, the real argument and discussion that we need to have here is about the truth of God's word, what God himself says about the Bible. The Spirit attested to the truth with visible signs and wonders, the tongues of fire upon the believers' heads and the many languages that were spoken on Pentecost Day. Jesus himself said, "Heavenly Father, sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth." It's never a Christian's job to try to convince anyone of this fact. We couldn't do it if we tried. Rather, this is the very work that God the Spirit has undertaken among us. He has bound himself to the Word and to the sacraments, especially we think of the waters of baptism, so that when we speak them and when we baptize, the Spirit works to bring the life of faith into dead hearts, to burst open that tomb of perishing thoughts and false gods, just as Jesus burst forth from that tomb on Easter morning, to give us a new heart and a mind that knows of nothing to trust but Jesus Christ for our life and salvation. This message of the Spirit about Jesus is meant to be understood. It's not meant to be vague at all. It's meant to be simple and understood. The message of the Spirit is meant to be shared. Pentecost Day follows upon Jesus' promise, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Pentecost Day follows upon Jesus' command to the faithful, go and preach the good news to all creation. Pentecost Day follows upon the mission that Jesus committed to his church when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. The message of the Spirit is clear, and it's meant to be shared. That's why the Lord protects us and keeps us in the midst of all this spiritual danger around us, all this hostility, so that the Spirit may work through the Word, so that no one is forced by his great divine power to trust and love in him, but rather the Spirit graciously calls out through us, through the words of the good news about Jesus Christ, spoken and printed and heard. And the Spirit intends to do this work through us. So what does all of this mean? What does all of this mean for us? Well, just as people have been asking, what does this mean about that strange word from last week? 500 years ago, the word grace was causing a stir in Germany. Some were saying that it's something that a person needs to make God favorably inclined to them. And others echoed what the scriptures said when they said God's undeserved love for sinners. That's what grace is. Clearly the Bible says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one may boast. So what does this mean? Well, it means that the Father loves you. Even though we don't deserve it, he loves us. It means that Jesus has redeemed us. He has brought us back with his own precious body and blood. And it means that God the Holy Spirit has come to us this day at this preaching of His Word to give us faith, to strengthen that faith, so that we know that our gracious God, Jesus Christ, has done all of this for the sake of His love for us. We know that God the Holy Spirit has caused this word to be understood among us. And we know that He is encouraging us and strengthening us so that we might share that gracious message about Jesus Christ far and wide. That's what this means. That's what this is all about. It's not how we look. It's not about the building. It's not about the people. It's about the Word of God among us. And then it's about all of us and about this place. The Word of God is at the center of everything, and it's not an unclear word. It is the truth. It is the thing whereby God works in our hearts, faith that knows of nothing to trust but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May the Spirit work in us so that we desire to share that clear and certain message in the unclear and uncertain times of this world. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life.